Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what it feels like forever? Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boosts and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game and The Game Nashville app. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. And we are broadcasting live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. So Jared Stillman sat down with Pekka Rinne yesterday. Pekka was inducted into the Tennessee Sports Hall of Fame yesterday, so congratulations to Pekka. Very, very well deserved, and I don't think it is a surprise or should come as a surprise to anyone that that is where Pekka Rinne ends up, because that's where he should be in the Tennessee Sports Hall of Fame. But Jared was able to catch up with him yesterday and had about a 10-minute or so conversation, and I thought it was fantastic. It was very insightful into Pekka's career and his role now with the Predators. He's working on developing young goaltenders. His role is in Europe specifically, correct, Willie?
Yes, and he articulated that. He's got he's a consultant for the goalies there. He mentioned there are two European prospects in the system, one that they drafted last year from Finland and another kid from Russia that plays in the KHL. Mm-hmm. Those are the two guys that he is focused on and really watching. But he said that all of the goalie coaches in the system, starting with Ben Vanderklok at the top, and then Milwaukee has their own goalie coach, he's sharing information from them. Obviously, they all want to hear what Pekka has to say, yeah. Right? And Pekka's learning about how to pass on what he knows to young prospects. He's new at this. But I thought that was an interesting part of the interview for sure, to talk about how the system works. I'm sure he's watching video on a lot of different goalies and giving his input. Mm-hmm. But he doesn't have, like, it's not like he's hanging out with Askarov or Saros during right. The season on a daily basis. But from afar, he's watching.
More developmental.
Yeah, and he is more hands-on with the two kids that I mentioned, the one kid from Finland, the one kid from Russia.
Yeah. So it was a great, great interview, kind of talking about Pekka's career, how he got here, what the Predators mean to him, and also looking at the big questions that are facing the Predators. Before we get into some specifics, Willie, just overall, some of your takeaways.
Well, number one, great job by Jared, as I mentioned in the last hour. That was really good stuff. Insightful. I really enjoyed hearing what Pekka had to say. There's a couple of things that we've discussed a lot on what goes into the decision of re-upping with UC Saros, trading UC Saros. How would it look if you have Askarov and Saros on the same team for an extended period of time? A season, two seasons, three seasons. I have referenced a bunch the time that UC Saros was basically the apprentice for three full years as Pekka Rinne's backup. So that was one thing that jumped out to me. So, Nick, if you've got it ready, Jared asked a great question. He said, when you've got a kid, and he was talking in terms of Askarov is certainly, you hope, a rising star, right? He's getting a lot of hype. He's a first-round pick. He's made a lot of waves. He's charismatic. He is a social media phenomenon, right? To say the least.
That he is.
To say the least. So he said, when you've got that guy and everybody's talking about him, how does that affect the starter, right? And he said, okay, what about you, Pekka? You had UC Saros behind you. What is that like? This was a really insightful answer from Pekka, I thought.
I think you got to think about yourself and your family, where you feel most comfortable. That's how I was thinking about it when I was going through it. And of course, there's also the sports side of it. But I always.
We'll get to that answer in a moment, because that's a different one.
We're also competitive. That you also want that challenge, that kind of driving force behind that. You know, like I, like I'm 100% sure that Uzi was able to extend my career, because like that made me work hardest that I've ever worked. You know,
so even though you guys were good friends, it certainly lit a fire under your ass.
Yeah, like exactly, because like you recognize talent, like you know who's good, like you know as a player, you know who's gonna like take your spot or anything like that. So that was for me the best thing that happened was when Uzi came over and eventually he took my job. But you need to have a little bit of that behind you, you know, like in the back of your head, that every day, like you gotta come to work. You gotta, you know, there's other guy breathing on your neck, and it's that's you know, one day that's gonna happen. But right now we're in an interesting situation in our organization, because you know we want to keep Uzi here, but then we also have Aski coming up from the minors, and he's getting to an age where you know he's improving every single year, and he's showing more and more that he's ready for a bigger role. And so I think it's a great thing for our organization, but it's a good thing for Uzi too, like you know.
So that was something that I hadn't thought about that much, but I do, looking back, remember Pecorine talking about that, how two talented goalies push each other. I thought of the saying that you hear a lot in basketball, and it's used in the movie Uncle Drew, which I think is a good underrated movie. It's a fun movie.
I don't think I've ever seen it.
Oh, I would recommend it. It's funny. It's good. Game recognizes game, mm-hmm. right? Game recognizes game. You heard Pekka say that, right? You know who the good talents are.
Yeah.
He knew Uzi Saros was a future good, great goaltender. Mm-hmm. And he said, that made me better, right? Pekka Rinne won the Vezina at age 35. Won the Vezina. And one of the things he did was he learned a lot of small technical things from Uzi Saros. How does Uzi Saros excel at his size, right? He's not the prototypical big goaltender. He makes up for it by, number one, incredible quickness, but also technically sound. Chris Mason has said numerous times, Uzi Saros is the most technically sound goaltender he's ever seen. So that's how he becomes a great goalie at 5'11". Pekka Rinne was a 6'5" goalie who was an incredible athlete mm-hmm. that came through the ranks without that same level of technical. And so his early years, he was just doing incredible things for a guy his size athletically, and that's how he was dominating. But as he got older, he had to adapt. It's like a pitcher that might used to have thrown 95 that now throws 92, 93. How do I adjust and still get people out as I get older when I lose a little bit of the physical gifts that I had? And that's how he did it. He was learning from Uzi, right? And at the same time, I'm sure Uzi learned a lot from Pekka as he was coming up, how to handle yourself. That's what I envision as Askarov could learn a lot as the apprentice to Uzi Saros. I think the organization sees that possibility as well. Mm-hmm. And so that is a little bit of where I'm coming from, of how it can work. And I look past the asset management part of it, right? Because I understand that part, right? And because you want to build a championship roster, right? It's not all about those two guys. It's about the big picture. Do I have a team that can win the whole thing? So the money's got to work, right? And the money did work for Rinne, as I illustrated. He made $7 million per year, which was high at that point. Saros was a very inexpensive backup who was giving them tremendous backup minutes, mm-hmm. right? 20 to 25 starts per year. Got a little bit more each year as Rinne aged, and they ended up having a great goaltender tandem. I don't know if they can recreate the same thing. I'm just saying that that's how it worked. And so it was interesting to me to hear Rinne talk about what dynamic that could be. Can Askarov push Saros to continue to evolve and be better as he gets older? And vice versa, what can Askarov learn about Saros with his professionalism?
It's absolutely valuable. And even though I am on the side of it's not wise asset management to have both and to hold on to both. It's not because I don't think that there's value in having both. Oh, absolutely. And I always talk about, at least on the college side of things, NFL is absolutely different, but college side of things, I think quarterback competitions are great. I think it's the best thing that can happen to a locker room because you're constantly trying to get the edge on one another. It's one thing that that Mike Vrabel talked about in one of the episodes of the Tom Brady docuseries. What is it called? I don't remember. But it was a docuseries, and each episode was about a different Super Bowl. And Teddy Bruschi and Mike Vrabel were talking about how they called each other the edgers. Of, oh, you got in at 5:30, I got in at 5. You got an hour of treatment, I got 2. How everyone was constantly pushing each other. I absolutely see value in that, in Askarov, of having a mentor in UC Saros who does everything right, off the ice, on the ice. Everything that anyone has ever told me is UC Saros is, you know, a model citizen. Maybe something that Askarov needs to learn a little bit, the maturity.
He's wired differently than Saros and Rene, right? There's no question. He is totally much more charismatic, et cetera.
And so, he bench presses the net. Like, oh, right. Could you ever picture Pekka doing that?
Never.
Never.
Never. And Saros even less apt to do that kind of thing.
Right.
But
my thing is the asset management.
Right. And that, I think, is a very fair thing to look at. The way I would look at that part is, because a lot of people pointed out, Joe especially, and this is a good point, it ended up being fairly seamless as Rene got to age 36, 37, the phase in of Saros and the phase out into the sort of the backup role for 2 years for Rene. And the age gap is not quite like that for Askarov and Saros. Mm-hmm. So there is a possibility, to me this would be a good thing, if it works out how I hope it would work out and how the Predators might hope it works out if they go in this direction, where Askarov is absolutely ready at, say, age 25.
Yeah.
To be a starter, and Saros is still locked in a long-term contract, hopefully still playing well. That is a dilemma. The beauty of it is, A, unlike a quarterback situation where you only want one quarterback, you're not using two quarterbacks. You know, in a 17-game schedule, you're not playing your starter for 13 games and your backup for the other 4 just to rest him.
That sounds like a recipe for disaster.
Right, you just don't do it that way. Yeah. But in hockey, you need a good backup goalie. And I would say as Saros ages, this did happen with Rene. They played him a little less each year. They played Saros a little more each year. I think that is reasonable. Saros has led the league in appearances the last 3 years. I don't think you want that every year as he ages. You want to take a little workload off of him, and you hope that in a perfect world, Askarov is ready to get more each year as he grows. So that is hopefully what Askarov would thrive in doing and enjoy doing. Like, not be upset that you're the backup. But there will get a point where I think Askarov will, if he goes along the path that I hope he goes on, he'll be ready to start. To me, at the asset management point there, somewhere along the line, he's still an asset. And you could trade one or the other.
Yeah.
You could, and still get a good return. I think that's the fear on your part and others, that somewhere along the line, you won't get any assets back for two really good assets, or for one of two of really good assets, two good goalies.
And,
fair?
And very fair.
So I still see that as a possible good return somewhere along the line. And when that deal might fall in your lap, then I think it's time to look at that.
But that's a good problem. My thought, it's a problem, but it's a good problem to have. Look at me and all my good players. My thing with Saros is, will his value on the market go up or go down? What is more likely? I see a path totally where UC Saros only gets better with age, totally, 100%. But if I had to bet on it, I would bet that as he gets older, and if he gets signed to a big deal, the value on the market only goes down, because not only will a team be trading for Saros, a very valuable commodity, they're also going to have to pay the money as well. And if I'm a potential trade partner with the Predators, I'm not giving you a haul if I have to put $8 million over the next 6-7 years on my books. I'm not doing that. I'll give you what I'll give you because I got to pay for it.
Right. So maybe Askarov ends up being a more attractive guy.
And that's something
that
I would be open to, too.
And also, keep in mind, as I keep pointing out, that the salary cap is going to go up. $8 million today is not going to be what $8 million is in 2, 3, 4 years. It's going to be a less... Like, for example, and I'm going to ask Ellie about this. Ottinger, Swayman, Shesterkin. Three guys that are probably going to be in the same kind of discussion this year.
Yeah.
1 year left on contracts. Swayman is a restricted free agent. So how much do those guys get paid? That's going to change the market. I think in the coming years, there'll be more goalies that get paid. So $8 million, I don't think is going to kill your budget in 3 or 4 years if this happens. And that's been my thing is we don't know what Askarov is going to be in 3 years. We hope he's going to go along the same path as Rene and Saros. We're used to it in this market. Mm-hmm. They find ways to get great goalies, just like they find ways not to have a plethora of great goal scorers, right? But you hope that it does. But there's no certainty there. Let's get another point from Pekka that I thought was really good. And we started to play this clip before. And that is just listen to Pekka talk about Saros in comparison to him of believing in this organization, the Predators. And then we'll discuss about what we think that means.
I think you got to think about yourself and your family, where you feel most comfortable. That's how I was thinking about it when I was going through it. And of course, there's also the sports side of it. But I always had a big belief in our team and our organization, and it was, at the time, it was the best decision for me and for my family to stay here, and I had no question in my mind. It was a dream come true, and I just have a feeling that it's the same thing for Juice. Hopefully everything goes smooth, but obviously I can't speak, sure, you know, speak for Juicy, but I, you know, it's everybody kind of handles their own way, but I know and use it really well, and what kind of person he is, and what kind of things he values, and he's such a, you know, humble, down to earth guy that, you know, he's already kind of setting his roots here as a pro athlete. So I have no question in my head that he wants to be here. And
so let me throw this
at you.
Not really
mincing words there.
Pekka, he almost had to stop himself, yeah, right? Because
he doesn't
he's obviously
speak
very
Saros.
Close with UC Saros. Uh-huh. You heard Barry Trotz at that press conference give the signal. Juice wants to be here. You heard Pekka say it. He had to kind of pull back, but then he ends up going for it. I don't want to speak for Juice, but blah, 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 blah. Uh-huh. I know what he's about. I know what he values. He believes in the organization. To me, and I'll ask it to you, mm-hmm, that is worth something. That is when a guy wants to be here. People can go back and remember the summer of 2017 after they went to the Cup Final. Does the Players Tribune still exist? I don't even know. I haven't seen as much of it lately, but
I believe it does.
I think in some form.
Yeah.
Pekka did a Players Tribune thing, just sort of thanking Nashville and talking about what it meant to him to bring Nashville to the cusp of a championship, getting them to the Stanley Cup final. It was an amazing thing to read, especially from a Nashvillian, and I'm sure the fans.
Oh,
and
yeah,
you saw the love affair between Rene and the fans. That last game that he played against Carolina, unfortunately, it was still part pandemic, and there was only, what, 8 or 10,000 fans allowed to be at the game.
If that,
it
yeah,
was still emotional. It was one of the coolest things I've ever seen live. Chris Mason and I were just in tears up at the thing. Couldn't even talk.
It was awesome.
It was crazy. To me, when you're thinking about investing the 8 years, and I don't know if it'll be 8. Maybe they get it to 7. I don't know.
It'll
be a long term. And you're banking on that guy getting into his mid-30s and still being really good. It's a risk. Just like it's a risk to trade him. And then who's the next guy? That's a risk, too.
Making any decision like that, as big as trading a goaltender or bringing the young guy up, it's all a
right
risk because you don't know how it's going to go.
Okay, so to me, it means something that UC Soros appears, based on that perspective from Pekka, to have that same want to be in Nashville, to do it for the Predators, and not, I'm gonna get my money, I'm going to win wherever I go.
Totally.
I think it means a little something extra to Soros, who is not as outspoken as Pekka. He doesn't wear it on his sleeve quite as much, but I think he's got that, and Pekka just kind of told you that. Would that mean something to you when you factor in which decision to make?
Of course it has to mean something, because whenever, you know, Barry Trotz talks about serial winners and building a culture, that's something that's obviously very important to him. And that's something that I think is just important, period. That if you have a good culture in your locker room, good things are going to come from it. And having players that love the team, that love the city, appreciate being here, that's a healthy environment for a locker room. So absolutely that means something to me. That it feels good rewarding people who are good people and have done good things for your organization, and you know you can trust to continue doing those things moving forward. That's something that stood out to me when Jeffrey Simmons got his big contract from the
Absolutely,
Titans.
Same feeling. No question.
Whenever he got up at the podium and he talked about what that meant for him and for his family and how much he loved Titans fans, like that just makes you feel even more happy for a guy that deserves it for what he did on the field, but it just means even more when you can reward a good person on top of it. So absolutely that means something to me. It can't be everything, though.
Of course
not. You have to make really tough decisions. It was the same thing whenever the Titans decided to trade Kevin Byard. Kevin Byard loves it in Nashville. He went 100%. To MTSU. His roots were here. His family was here. I can't speak for Kevin Byard, but I think that we can all agree that if Kevin Byard could have ended his career here, he would have. That couldn't have been an easy decision to make, trading a captain, trading somebody with such deep roots into this town and has so much love and adoration for this fan base, for the city. But business is business, and unfortunately you have to make tough decisions, and it's harder to see guys like that go than it is guys like, an example doesn't come to my head, but guys that you know really don't give a crap.
Right, and it's not just that. It's what are you bringing in to replace him? Will you get that same special quality that you know that he has? And so that's why these are all things that you weigh. So That's where I'm on. This reinforces my position, mm-hmm. And I knew Pekka felt that way, but it's interesting to hear him talk about it in detail like that. The other thing that maybe we can get to on the other side is the last question that Jared asked, which is a good one. Mm-hmm. He hasn't won in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. Pekka has a really good answer for what that is like when you lose a playoff series, and how that equates going forward. I do think the next time you roll out there when you've got a guy that it means that much to, I like my chances. Even though he hasn't won yet, I like my chances of what's going to happen going forward a lot more. But we'll hear what Pekka has to say about that.
We'll get into that coming up next. We'll get into your reaction as well. 615-737-1025. Caroline Willie D. Mace. Join Cromwell Media along with local athletes and musicians at Hermitage Golf Course on June 20th for the 615 Open. Make a difference while supporting Souls for Souls. Every $20 raised goes to a new pair of shoes for a local child experiencing homelessness. So sign up to play or sponsor at 615open.com.
UC has not won a playoff series yet. And so I do wonder, as a goalie, how personally do you take winning in the playoffs and that, as opposed to, well, it's a team sport, and how much does the goalie put that on themselves?
I mean, a lot. And I, you know, knowing Yuse's personality too, like he's so, so hard on himself, and he takes a lot of ownership on this team, and you know, it doesn't matter the game. He always thinks that he could have been the difference. And I know how he feels. So, and he has the mentality of a winner. So I have no doubt in my head that those days are still ahead when he's going to steal a series for us and all of a sudden, you know, gets on a roll. But yeah, I mean, I feel like, you know, those days are still ahead.
That was Pekka Rinne in his conversation, his sit down with Jared Stillman yesterday. Caroline, Willie, D. Mace were brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet. So there you hear Pekka kind of addressing the question and the idea that we've all brought up. Look, UC Saros is a hell of a goaltender. He's one of the best in the league, a Vezina-caliber goaltender. But he has not yet won a playoff series. That does not mean that he cannot. I never said that he can't, but he just hasn't. So that's Pekka there kind of addressing that idea that we've brought up as we discuss the future of the goaltending position.
You heard Pekka's belief that the next go-round, he believes that those days are ahead, that they will win playoff series with him. But I think the real telling thing is how you internalize that. It's not like UC Saros is sitting there going, hey, it wasn't my fault. You know, he's got that gene that I think is so essential to a great competitor, especially a goalie.
Yeah.
You internalize it, and there's a lot of mental stress that comes with that where you say, it's on me. If I would have just saved that shot, maybe we would have won. Even though the bar is so high for him and what he's had to do, he has been asked to elevate the team, both Rene and Saros, for a lot of their prime years, right? They haven't had a monster team in front of him that is going to win games 5-4 a lot of nights. Ironically, this last season, actually, they did sort of pick up the slack for UC Saros to some degree, more so than any season that I can remember for Saros in his prime. But I think in the coming years, it's fair to say that it'll swing back around and they will expect a lot from Saros. But it sort of illustrates how Saros expects a lot from himself. So once again, I present the choices in front of me if I'm Barry Trotz, and I ask myself, if I put a good team in front of UC Saros, is UC Saros going to win future playoff series? And keep in mind, when Pekka Rinne signed the 7-year, $7 million per year contract, which was very high at the time, this was 2011, when the cap ceiling was only $64 million. The cap is going to be $87.7 when this new contract kicks in for Saros. He had only won one playoff series at that time. So it's one for Pekka, zero for Juice. Now, you might think that's a big deal. I don't think that's huge. But they had to be thinking, when we invest this money, Pekka is going to win playoff series if we do our job as a team and put a good team in front of him. Because that has a lot to do with it, right? How good is the team in front? And that's got something to do with why Saros hasn't won a playoff series. His team in front of him had a lot to do with that. There two series, they were a sizable underdog. The other series was in the bubble. And I will admit that I didn't think that was Saros' best thing.
Yeah.
But you had Pekka kind of looking over his shoulder there. There was a lot of, if you can go back that far and you remember, there was like, should they play Pekka? Should they play Saros? This was in the bubble, this isolated island of games where nobody had played for a couple months.
Yeah, that was a weird
That was
series.
Weird.
And
that was really weird.
The Predators weren't going to beat Carolina in 2021.
That was going to be a big ask if you thought he should have won that series. And his save percentage was over .920. In that series. He played well. And just the last point is, Pekka was at the same age mm-hmm. when they made that decision to invest in him for 7 more years as Juicy is today, 29 years old.
My thing about the one playoff series win for Pekka and none for UC Saros. Think about if the Predators would have beaten the Canucks in that playoff series. Think about how differently, or at least I would think about how differently I would view UC Saros, because there wouldn't be that kind of a big red circle hanging above the conversation of he hasn't won a playoff series. Like that to me, that would be massive.
Really?
That I understand it's just one playoff series, but it is one playoff series for a franchise that's only gotten past the second round of the playoffs one time. So that to me, I know you can say, well, it's
so
just
nobody's
one.
Done it.
It's just one.
Vokoun hasn't done it. You know, you can go back through the whole thing. It's not.
But that would mean a lot to me. One playoff series.
But is it just about the goalie? That's the question. Like,
no.
You guys are always harping on correctly that this is they've lacked great forwards too. So that's part of it too. So it's not all on the goalie. I think that's a great question you bring up. You would feel differently had they won that series
just now against the Canucks.
Yes, and that's not to say that they lost that series because of UC Soros. I mean, games 5 and 6, UC Soros was outstanding, and they weren't good enough in front of Soros. They had no business losing game 6 with how well UC Soros played. That it's not just about the goaltender, absolutely. But I, at least, can speak for myself. I can't speak for anybody else. I would look at it differently.
Okay, so the way I look at it, because the question going forward is, are you going to win future playoff series if you reinvest in UC Soros? I'm looking at it more of what has Soros done over the last 4, 5, 6 years, as opposed to what he has done in a 6-game sample that we just saw, where it was razor's edge. And the way the Canucks have played against the Oilers also tells me a little bit that's been the same kind of series, razor's edge, hard, tough series. Interesting series, and the shot volume that you face is pretty low. So it's unique. So I'm looking much more at what has he done in the body of work and not just in the 16 playoff games. The 16 playoff games mean something, but I think I value a little bit more the big picture when I'm looking ahead. And I think it's more about what team can you put in front of him with him making $7.5, $8 million, whatever it ends up being. Can I make that work? I think it's much more about what am I making work in front of him than do I want him in there at that price. That's me.
And that's really the big crux of my argument. And if I can speak for Robbie, Joe, and Jared, the kind of the crux of their argument as well. Can UC Soros win a playoff series moving forward? Sure. I have no reason to believe that he can't. But UC Soros played out of his mind in games 5 and 6. And they couldn't win the series. So it's about what's in front of him. Artur Shelovs. I would love to see Shelovs on a different team that doesn't have as good of a defense as the Vancouver Canucks do. Would he be playing and looking as good as he does? Maybe. Totally. Maybe. We're not going to know. But also maybe not, which I think speaks to how...
I think the defensive structure in front of him has a lot to do with it. No doubt.
Definitely helps. It speaks a lot to... Yes, the goaltending is important, but it's not everything. It's what you have to put in front of the goalie as well.
Okay.
And I know offense has been hard to come by against the Vancouver Canucks, even for Edmonton. And they've got Connor freaking McDavid and Leon freaking Draisaitl. I get it. But it is no mystery, and I don't think it's even up for debate or disagreement, that the Predators need more scoring, that the Predators need better forwards. Barry Trotz said it. We got to get younger. We got to get better. We got to get faster on the top nine. Are there assets that you could get for one of the goaltenders, Soros or Askarov? Are there assets that you can get, a prospect, a couple of picks, that could turn into that elite goal scorer, that top center, that top forward, to get you over the top? That's what I want to know. Because if you're sitting on a gold mine with one of those goalies that could potentially turn into your franchise goal scorer, that's the intrigue that I am looking at.
We're going to talk about this some with Adam Vingan tomorrow.
Yeah.
But I my sneak preview would be, I think it's fair to say up to this day that whatever conversations they've had about Soros in trades, nobody has offered the kind of goal scorer that you're envisioning, right? People don't trade.
Very uncommon.
The freakish goal scorer, we've had a lot of fun with the term freak. To me, I've always looked at it, Soros is a freak. So if I'm going to trade you Soros, I want a freak in return. I want certainty that I can replace it. I'm not looking for future bets, first-round picks, a prospect that looks pretty good. I want a pretty solid bet that I'm getting a freak back. And I've racked my brain. I've looked around, and they certainly haven't traded Soros. I'm looking for other teams that trade that kind of guy. It is really, really rare. Either the guy could be a little flaky, a little bit of a wild card off the ice, and you're like, is he a ticking time bomb? That's the kind of guy that becomes available. But by and large, it's hard to trade for that kind of guy. Also, those guys usually don't hit the free agent market very often, unless they're aging, maybe 34, 35. So it's hard to find those guys in general.
Like, you have to find your
So
Matthew
when you
Kachuk.
Have one. Yeah, Matthew Tkachuk is a great example of a unique person. And we might bring him up when Adam's on. Because to me, I would have gone all in to try to get that kind of guy. And the Panthers did. Mm-hmm. And they're seeing the benefits of that. They traded a lot away to get him.
Yeah.
But it's worked out tremendously well for them. And
that's
not
a trade that I would do.
Not
all
real
day long.
Good for the Flames, but the Flames were in a tough spot because he basically told the Flames, I'm not staying here. Mm-hmm. And so that's rare that that happens.
Jack Eichel, another
so
one.
So I keep going back to you guys who are still reticent to, at least, to say the least, of reinvesting in Soros. I keep asking, well, what are you giving me as an alternative? What is the return in a trade? And who is the other goalie? If you look at the who's available right now in goal, it's not a real good list. And so I'm not – I would be very, very hesitant to go forward and think I'm going to be a better team next year, the year after, without Soros, a very young Askarov that we don't know, and a goalie who is extremely unproven as a starter that has either never been a starter – or has achieved at a way lower level than Soros has. That's who's out there at free agency. Maybe you've got an idea that you could trade for another guy, but I still like my plan better. I haven't been convinced the other way.
And that's fine. I know that one name that Robbie threw out was Laurent Brossoit.
Right.
Brossoit.
He's never been a starter. And he had a great year last year as the backup.
I wouldn't be expecting to get another UC Soros in free agency. I would expect, and I am would have to be okay with taking a step back in goal in order to ideally pay dividends and take leaps and bounds forward.
Okay, but part of that equation, let's take Brossoit. Has he? He is 31 years old, older than Soros. To this point, he has never been a starter. He's never played more than 24 games in an NHL season. And he's been around a long time. Nobody has given him the reins to be a starter. So he's a complete unknown of you're asking him to play, let's say, 50 games next year. Is that reasonable? If your plan is, let's give the kid Askarov some games next year, mm-hmm. 30 would be good.
Yeah.
Reasonable.
I didn't say that's
so
a lot.
You need another guy that's going to play 50 or so.
Mm-hmm.
Brossoit has never played 25 in a game, in a season. He's 31. Mm-hmm. He's kind of a finished product. He had a great year. In fact, his last 2 years have been really, really good as backups. He played 11 games for Vegas, and he won some playoff games, and he's got a ring. Winnipeg, he had his best year as a backup this year. He's good. I still don't know if I'm coming out ahead on that. That's why I need to know, What are you getting for Soros?
And the return, that's a very fair question because that's always the question that I ask when we're talking about trades, but also a difficult question to answer when there aren't very many points of comparison. For me to say, okay, well, this goalie trade for this caliber of goalie was made a couple of years ago, so this is what I think is a fair return. That doesn't exist. Just because it is a fairly, I'm not going to say completely unprecedented, but fairly unprecedented move because teams just don't move on from goaltenders. But because teams also don't have the wealth of goaltenders that the Predators have, or at least ideally have, yeah. If Askarov eventually turns into what he's going to become.
I would say,
so
I
to
my
me,
challenge.
It's one of those returns of when you see it, you know.
Okay. But they haven't seen it, right, to this point.
Clearly,
they have
haven't
kind
seen
of shopped
it.
Around a little bit.
Yeah.
It's prospects, it's picks, it's not a certainty that you're going to get. So I'm still leaning towards a certainty. I also would, as evidence, show you Carolina. Maybe Carolina will come back and win from down 3-0. Maybe it'll be the 2004 Red Sox.
I wouldn't bet on it, but.
But if they lose to the Rangers, they will have had the best 6-year run of all time without ever making it to a conference final.
Mm-hmm.
Not the Stanley Cup final, but the conference final. They've never won 2 rounds. And they've had 6 incredible seasons in a row. Nobody's ever done better in the regular season for 6 years without reaching a conference final. I would contend that the lack of a great goaltending performance is a big part of that. They've had a great team. Yeah, maybe they don't have great scorers too, but they have a lot of great things going for them. I would also look at the Kings. In the post-Jonathan Quick era, they won 2 cups. They locked up Jonathan Quick for a long-term deal, a 10-year contract. But since Quick became sort of a backup and an expensive backup, he was still at the tail end of that contract making $5.8 million. They went through the rebuild. They've now come out of it. They don't have the goalie right now. They are one of the best defensive teams, but they can't get past the first round. And now going forward, they have serious question marks. Who in the world is that going to be? That is what you're entering into if you move on from UC Saros. Yeah, you've got a scar off, but I still think he's a couple years away from being the finished product. No question about it. You'd be rolling the dice big time.
Totally.
If you're gaining in goal scoring, okay. But if you're going way back in goaltending, are you really that much closer to winning a title?
Well, the idea would be that you wouldn't be going way back in goaltending, and it's totally
But you're going, if you're replacing Saros with Brossoit,
not a
you're going
fix.
Back.
You would be taking backwards. A couple steps back over the next couple of years.
Yes.
Yes.
And am I willing to do that?
I would be willing to do that if I felt confident enough in the return that I got to be a better team 3 to 5 years down the road rather than pushing all the chips into the middle.
That's
right
why
now.
I got to know what the return is.
And it's a fair question, but for not having a point of comparison, it's hard for me to say that what is a move that you shouldn't make or what is a move that you should make. That's what I go back to. Like, if you see it, you know it, and you know it when you see it. It would have to be enough certainty to move off of something certain. It would have to be enough certainty for you to make that gamble. But I'm not interested in getting, 35-year-old forwards. I'm not interested in that.
And Adam just corrected me, and he's right. The correct term is nobody will have ever had a 6-year run of more without getting to a Stanley Cup final. They have been to the conference final.
Like Stanley Cup
they
final.
Have been into the conference final, the Final Four, but they've never been to the Stanley Cup final. So thank you, Adam, for correcting. We'll get in more of this tomorrow.
Yeah, Adam will join us for an hour tomorrow. So looking forward to having Adam Vinken in studio. We'll continue this conversation coming up next. Get to some of your thoughts as well. Elliot Friedman in 10 minutes. Caroline Willie D. Mays, 102.5, 106 for the game. Caroline Willie D. Mays, let's get into some of your thoughts on the goaltending situation before we get to Elliot Friedman here in just a moment. One texter texts in says, I'd hate to give golf lessons to Willie. To change your swing, you have to go back for a little bit before you see the improvements. You also aren't guaranteed to shoot even par just because you made the adjustments, but it's probably more likely than rather keeping the same swing and being content shooting a 90.
I don't buy that for 1 second. Shooting a 90. UC Saros is shooting a 90 in his world? He's been the best goalie in the league. Or I shouldn't say the best. He has been in the top 5 or 6 over the last 4 years. And that's undisputed. Mm-hmm. So that's not a 90.
That's not a 90.
And he's acting like this is an individual sport. This is a team sport. The question is, can you pay your goalie $7.5 to $8 million in the future salary cap and still have a team that can win the whole thing? That is the dilemma that really all teams have. The ones that are choosing or have the weapons to try to outgun teams are trying to get by with a goalie that they're not paying as much. It's hard to have it all, right? The Rangers are about to pay Igor Shesterkin a really big contract. And they'll have to make that work with other players. Right now, they've got a pretty good blend. Peter Laviolette knew what he was doing when he walked in there and got that job. He's got a lot of weapons, and he's got a great goalie. So I don't think the analogy to golf is anything close
to a
team sport.
To your point about individual versus team sport, if this was an individual sport, it'd be an easy decision. If it was UC Saros versus everybody else's goaltender one-on-one, I'd take my chances with Saros. That's the complication, is that it is a team sport, that for every little bit that the goaltender takes up, well, that's less amount of a pie that goes to the goal scorers. That, a potential, return that you could get for one of the goaltenders could be supplementary, or I would say ideally would be supplementary to the rest of your team, that it's give in, that it's take, that you might have to take a step back here to take a step forward there.
The step back to take the 2 steps forward, I understand that general part of it.
And I understand
my
it's no
plan,
guarantee.
And there's no guarantee with anything you do. That's why we're discussing this. But in my stay with Saros plan, I think there's less risk and I get the luxury of not taking a step back. Mm-hmm. I'm hoping to continue forward with the whole reset that they did last year. To me, that was the step back. They took the step back, a big one. They traded 4 players at the deadline. They got a bunch of assets and draft picks back. We still don't know what the fruits will bear, but that's still to come. They haven't depleted the farm system. So to me, if they have a lot of salary cap space, there's no need to take a step back, in my mind. To me, the best way forward, too, is with Soros as the goalie. I still think they have enough assets, cap space in the coming years to do it without taking the step back. That's my philosophy anyway.
We'll catch up with Elliot Friedman coming up next. We'll put all of this on the table for Elliot. Caroline Willie D. Mays, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
Hey, it is Ryan Seacrest here. If you love great games and a little extra excitement to your day, I got something fun for you. Chumba Casino and I have teamed up to create an exclusive online social casino game. It's called Ryan Seacrest 10K Ways. It's fun and free to play, just like all your favorites from Chumba Casino. And every spin brings 10,000 ways to keep the good times going. Check it out and play for free today at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.